TAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Listen. All right. Welcome back to the second hour of Living the Good Life. Right here from Beacon of Hope Ministries, we are in the studio where it is raining outside, and I guess we are expecting some kind of a storm here soon. Well, maybe it's not quite raining. It just kind of looks like it is. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. My associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, the wonderful, sweet, kind, loving man that you just heard in our first hour, will be back on the air with us next Sunday. Nan Watson's in the studio, and Betty is going to be calling in shortly. So we will be talking to Betty very soon. And Nan, as far as the prayer requests, you know, I think it bears noting that we have had so many amazing answers to prayer through the years since we began the prayer line 6 or 8 years ago. Would you comment on that, Nan?
I mean, we've had so many answered prayers of some, you know, first of all, we'll look at degrees of thing. If anyone has something, they may think, well, this is not big enough to put on the prayer line. Put it on the prayer line.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not that if you don't have cancer, you think you can't put it on, or bigger things. Whatever is affecting you.
Right.
Whatever is having impact in your life. Whatever troubles or trials that are going on. God cares about them, and so do we.
Amen.
And they can send that prayer request on the prayer email line, and it's picked up by Shell, Pastor Jim, or Betty. And they put out the prayer request. They put out a prayer with it, so we can actually be praying that prayer. So we all pray it in unity.
That's right.
About that particular item.
Love that.
And we love that. And then when we get answered prayers, we like for people to call us, contact us back, and say, they answered my prayer. God answered
right.
my prayer.
Yes.
And we've had so many of that happening. You know, I know that for myself, I used the prayer line, you know, one time that I dramatically very much remember. I was having a major meltdown at my office. Walked out of my office to try to get some fresh air. Walked to the back part of the property I didn't know was there. You know, it just, but God, that prayer, I got better.
Right.
It got better. I got better.
Yeah.
It got better. You know?
Yeah.
As a result of people praying.
Are you saying God answers prayer?
I'm saying God answers prayer.
Are you saying that God tells us to pray? Jesus all the time said, pray. Yep. Pray. Pray yep. without ceasing. Put your request yep. before God. Let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Wow. All right. The second hour of Living the Good Life. Betty Thomas, are you there from Centerville, Indiana?
I am here. I am mobile, Ooh. But I am Ooh. Here.
You're mobile. All right. It's okay to be mobile. All right.
Mobile.
Hey, Betty, long time no see.
Hey, how you doing, sis?
Hey, I'm doing fine, sis. How are you doing?
Like less than 24 hours.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I know. It was... a blessing, a time of restoration, time of fellowship, a time of laughter, and wouldn't have traded it for anything.
Amen. Amen. We're so glad you're back home safely, and we've loved having you here. Were you able to listen to any of that from the first hour?
Yes.
Okay.
I think I fell asleep because we got off the plane and had a bite to eat, and I think that the, the sitting... I didn't hear the first 12 minutes, but
okay.
Everyone's heard the show this afternoon.
Okay, great. All right. We're talking about the importance of truth versus lies. We're talking about the importance of being filled, overflowing with the spirit of truth, Jesus himself, instead of allowing the liar, the accuser of the brethren, the devil to control our thoughts and what comes out of our mouths and what we think about. And we're going to really explore this in deeper way here in the next few minutes. And so I invite you, call a friend and say, hey, you need to be listening to this show right now. Because if you know a friend who has struggles with truth, a friend who has problems that doesn't tell you the whole truth, maybe tells you half-truths, or also maybe just plain outright lies, and then you get into all kinds of messes. If you have a friend, relative, somebody you know, this is the show for them. You know, we did a show similar in June of, I think, 2011, Don't Buy the Lie, and I think we could call this pretty much the same way, Don't Buy the Lie. Because we tend to buy the lie because it's convenient. Sometimes it's what we want to hear. We're going to be talking more about that in just a couple minutes. We're going to start this second hour with the group Mike's Chair, People Like Me. Listen to this song.
What if I told you, what would you say? Would you stand by me, would you walk away? What if my walls came down and you saw everything? All of my weakness, all of my scars, all that I've hidden deep in my heart for so long, and I'm scared to set it free. Show me a light. Stored, but it's hard to feel it here in the storm, torn between who I've been and who I wanna be. Oh, Jesus, I need you to be hope in the darkness, reaching for me out of this doubt. Lord, help me to believe. Show me. Show me a light.
Grace was meant for people like me. Show me you can handle my honesty. And God says, yes, I can. Just come and pour out your heart, your life to Him. Grace was meant for people like me. I love that song. Don't be fearful of being changed. Be real. Walls need to come down. Grace was meant for people like me. Nan's got a poem there, and then we're going to Betty in just a minute after we go to 1 John chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, want to join us, 1 John chapter 2. It's clear at the end of your Bible. Go ahead, Nan.
I've hid so much in my life because of what I've done and where I've been. Father, help me to truly believe that I can be restored and begin again. It is so hard for me to believe that I can start and have a brand new day. Father, help me to truly understand. That is what I now pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Oh, that's right on. That's right on. Listeners, that is as if you or one of us is saying to God, hey, this is how I feel. Wow. Thank you, Nan. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Very strong words in the Message Bible. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, let's mark that, wanting your own way, number one, wanting everything for yourself, number two, wanting to appear important, number three, these are very important, these three things right here, has nothing to do with the Father. Now, in the King James or NIV, I believe those things are called the pride of life and the pride of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And I like the way the Message Bible translates those three things. I'm going to say it one more time. This has nothing to do with the Father in you. Wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, that has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. Betty, please comment on all this. Pride of life, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. I believe that's what those three are.
Yeah, I believe that we push God aside. We don't give Him the first of everything that we have.
Right.
Is that we look for idols. We look for ways to feed our sinful nature.
Right.
With things, materialistic things, with egos, with titles, with all kinds of things that give
right.
us self-gratification.
Right.
And it's hard at times because this is part of those lies that the devil gives us. It's like, well, you go ahead and you take this title or take this or take this. Don't worry about what God thinks. This is all about you.
Right.
And it isn't all about us. It's
right.
all about Him and giving Him the glory. And the things that He's so worthy of is our praise, our love, our devotion.
Amen.
Even our tithes are the first that we give to God. The first thing when we get up in the morning is thanking Him that we awoke, we're alive, and we're breathing.
You know, I agree with you. And I think these three things that John points out, this is the same John that wrote the book of John, and he wrote these three gospels at the end of our Bibles, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. And I think after walking with Jesus for a long time, he really understood that these are the pitfalls that humanity has. Wanting our own way. Number one, you know, that's that it's got to be what I want to do, what the way I'm going to be, why I want this to happen this way, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it happen my way. That old Frank Sinatra song, doing it my way. And then the second one, wanting everything for yourself. I think so often humanity will steal, they will lie, people will cheat, they'll do whatever. Sometimes they take somebody else's mate. I mean, whatever the case may be, wanting something for themselves. Sometimes they connive in a job situation and try to destroy someone in that office so that they can have that job. Wanting things for ourselves. And the third one is wanting to appear important. And, you know, Betty, I think a lot of people, they lie about maybe what they are in life or what they've accomplished or not accomplished, and they juice up the story, so to speak. You know, they exaggerate. Well, I was this. You know, we had somebody that came to church many, many years ago who claimed to be an eye doctor. And everybody was saying, wow, this person, oh, this new person, remember her last week that was here? Well, she's an eye doctor. And when the truth finally came out many, many weeks and months later, she worked in the office of an eye doctor. Talk to me, Betty.
Well, one of the things that you do is that you push other people aside that are maybe more deserving of a position, or that you're striving for that power.
Right.
Sometimes it's lonely at the top.
Exactly.
Once you do that and get there, that maybe you don't have the friends that you used to have, or you don't have the respect that people used to give you once upon a time. And it's hard to regain that trust and that respect that people once had for you.
Right.
Once that you've downtrodden them, you've pushed them aside, and thrown them away like they were a piece of trash. I've had that happen a couple of times in my own life. It's like, why do people do that? I don't know. Like you said, maybe when we talked about it the first of the hour, for their own gratification, for their own power, because they want to do it their way.
Well, I think it's partly they want to do it their own way. And a lot of times people have been so hurt in life, been so rejected, perhaps been abandoned as children, perhaps have never had the attention from parental figures that they needed, perhaps have been slighted through disabilities or something in their life to the point that they feel less than. And I think that those two words for me have been extremely important when I've, as a pastor, tried to deal with people who have had problems lying about things in their life. And to me, Betty, and I just throw this at you, and then Nan, you can comment too. I feel like there is a root of feeling less than, perhaps a root of shame. Dr. Angel and I just did a 3-part series on Go Yard, and it's on the podcast page here at WTAN. You can access it with tantalk1340.com. Go to podcasts. Go to Go Yard. That's our Thursday night counseling show. We just did a 3-part series on overcoming shame, because shame can be a root of people feeling less than and not able to be honest about who they are or what they've accomplished or whatever. Nan, do you have a comment on that? And then we'll go to Betty.
Well, I think that we need not have ourselves beat up because of, you know, what we've done or where we've been and what's been done.
Right.
You know, talking about shame, you know.
Exactly.
I was in an abusive relationship.
Right.
There would have been a time in my life I couldn't have talked about it because I was ashamed that I allowed that to continue to go on. I was ashamed that it was no due to my own fault. It wasn't my fault. But yet I lived in that. And I lived in it kind of, that was my decision, you know, for all various reasons. But I was not the one causing the pain or the aggravation or the whatever was going on. But then you reach a point where you're like, I don't need to be ashamed of this.
Right.
This has happened. I can share with people. I can say I know how you feel. And God can use that to minister to other people who feel that same way. Will not take the shame from that. I do not take the shame from that.
So you eventually worked yourself through that,
exactly,
right?
Yes.
Betty, talk to us.
Well, I think you're talking about, when you're talking about things like that, is people have self-esteem issues.
Yes.
People don't feel like that they can do things correctly unless it's by deceit or
right.
by lying.
Right.
Because that's what they've done all of their life.
Exactly.
That's how they've gotten ahead. That's how they've gotten the attention that they needed
right.
to fulfill that void in their life.
Exactly.
It's tough. It's tough. And, you know, once you start doing that, it's hard to get out. Because you have to keep doing that self-gratification.
Right. But there comes a point in time when, maybe through this show right here, and I pray that God uses this very show to minister to people who are stuck in that rut and maybe at the fork in the road where they're trying to decide, do I come clean with my dishonesty, with my lies, with my needing attention, needing to feel more important than I am, etc. There may be some people listening to the show now or in the future where they can say, you know what, that's me. I'm at that fork in the road. I'm at that defining moment where I have got to make choices to follow the Spirit of Truth, which we've been talking about, which is the Holy Spirit within us, or I'm going to continue down the path I've been on, and that is following the liar, the father of lies, the devil, and succumbing to all the tricks and schemes of the evil one. You know what I'm saying, Betty? You there?
Yes, because I'm muted.
Yeah, it's okay.
We talked about this last evening.
We did, last evening. I know we did.
Last evening. Yes, and we talked about it extensively, is that once you start, it's hard to break that.
It is.
That barrier, that facade that you have portrayed, that you're someone that you're not.
Amen.
And the one person who can help you break those chains
the one person who can help you overcome the sin that maybe you have fallen into because of the father of lies is Jesus Christ
Amen.
Himself. We talked about the verse in Psalm that reflects of what happens to us when we fall into that trap.
Right.
When we fall into that sinkhole.
It's a sinkhole. Where, yes, it is.
Yeah, where we fall in and we feel like that we can't get out.
Right.
Well, the Lord gives us, if we fall into a sinkhole or we have chains that bind us, He gives us the tools. He gets through the Word, through the Holy Spirit conviction.
Amen.
To be able to break those chains.
Amen.
And it's a cycle that can be broken.
Yes, it can.
Very, very much so through the Word of God, through prayer, through counseling, through rehabilitation. And I don't want to take the words out of your mouth because most of these words were words that you had spoken last evening, is that God wants us clean.
Amen.
He wants us holy. And sure, we're going to sin, but we have the power of forgiveness.
Amen.
Because of Jesus Christ who died on the cross.
Yes.
We have the forgiveness through His grace and
Amen.
His mercy.
Amen.
And it's something that if you need assistance, if you need guidance, ask for help. That's the first thing that people do is that they're afraid. They're fearful. What are people going to think of me if I come before, you know, my pastor or an elder or whomever? What are they going to think of me? Well, I think that the love that Jesus has for us will abide in us so that we can help those that cannot help themselves.
Oh, amen. Which brings us perfectly to this song by the group New Song, Defining Moment. Is it your defining moment, dear one? Great song. Listen to the words carefully.
There comes a time in every heart, a time of real decision, when we reach the point of choosing how we would live our lives. All our hopes, all our dreams will rise up from that moment, the moment we surrender and choose to follow Christ. He's been waiting all our lives to hear us say, I am yours, Lord, take my hand and lead the way. When you believe He's all you need, that will be your defining moment as you live your life, walking in His light, trusting Him.
Praise God. Praise God. When you believe He's all you need, that will be your defining moment. And that's what it's all about. When you believe He's all you need, because Betty, in our own strength, we cannot fix a lifetime of lying, of deceiving, of being held under the spell of the evil one, the devil, and living a life of lust and pride and getting my own way all the time and lying about it. We can't break that without God. I just firmly believe it takes, as we said earlier, rehabilitation, but it takes a defining moment, Betty. That's my, and then Nan, I'm going to come to you for your opinion on that. But Betty, I want yours first. Go ahead.
Well, I think that a defining moment can come when we surrender.
Amen.
When we can admit that there's, I have a problem. There's something that I've done that's not been pleasing in the eyes of God.
Right.
And when that defining moment comes, it comes at a point where we're willing. And able and want to change.
That's it. Willing and want to. Yes, yes, yes. Are you okay?
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, and I think that a lot of times there are so many emotions that we go through in that defining moment: fear, anger,
right?
Fear of it's the basis of that is fear,
right?
Afraid again of what people are going to think,
right?
And it's not afraid of what people will think, but they're afraid that God is going to judge them, that He's going to, you know, put the gavel down and say, okay, you know, I found you out. This is what happened. But if you read in the Word of God, our Lord is so forgiving.
Amen.
Of our sins.
Yes.
Once we ask.
And that's the whole thing. We've got to change our perception of God and quit buying the half lies, the half truths, and the lies. Go ahead, Nan. And I agree with you, Betty, entirely. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Betty was talking about how He forgives. He so readily forgives. All we have to do is ask His forgiveness. And I know we've made jokes on the show before about how I was Jonah, and meaning I was running
from God. I think
you
need to explain that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was in counseling. I wasn't really, wasn't serving the Lord
many
as I
years
should have
ago.
Been. Many years ago, and I was not serving the Lord as I should have been. I had been hurt by the previous church and there's various things, but I was kind of like running from God.
Right.
You know, what is He going to want me to do? I don't know that I want to do what He's going to ask me to do. I'm afraid of what He's going to ask me to do, you know, and, you know, I just came to Him. You know, it's like I just came awake one day and it was like, wow, this is like, okay, God, please forgive me for running from You. And Father, just fill me, just lead me and guide me, and He will.
Amen.
He will.
He does.
He does. You know, and I would encourage people that, you know, to do that. It's okay.
I totally agree. We're going to Psalm 51. Betty, you brought this to my attention again last evening when we were sitting in my family room talking about this. And this is a psalm that David wrote when he was caught. He didn't voluntarily admit his sin. He was caught. The prophet Nathan came to him and told him a little story. What would you do, king, to this person? He says, oh, this person would have to die for this sin. This is terrible. And then the prophet Nathan says, well, that's you, king. You did that. And so when David was really now David is in the line of the Messiah. David had a heart after God, but yet David was human like we are. And David sinned greatly against the Lord by not only taking Bathsheba, a married woman, as his lover, but also having her husband killed so he can marry her. I mean, the story just got worse and worse as it went along. It started with lust when he saw her bathing on top of the building where she lived, and he watched that and decided that she was going to be his. And those that whole that whole concept there goes right back to 1 John 2 that we were talking about, that the lust of our eyes, the pride of life, those things that we look and we go, I want that. I'm going to get that. I'm going to get that no matter what it takes, even if I have to lie to get it. And there's a lot of people, that's how they live their life. Well, I'm going to have that, or I am going to cheat on my spouse, or I am going to do this. I'm going to cheat on my income tax, or I'm going to cheat on my whatever, you know. Have you ever had somebody give you back more money than you should have gotten? Happened to me recently again. It's happened to me many times. And I when it happens, by many, I mean four or five. But you know, when it happens, it's like a little test for us. And somebody gave me change for a 50 when they should have given me change for a 20. Okay? And it was like I was looking at it when it came back to me, and I thought, oh, did I give her a 50? And I thought, no, I didn't have a 50 in my wallet. And so I went back up to the cash register, wasn't far, and I just said, hey, wait a minute, whoa, before you go on with this next person, this isn't right. I gave you a 20, not a 50. Okay? So we've got to be that honest in life. I'm not setting myself on a pedestal here. I'm just giving you a life example that we have to recognize our guilt. When David was confronted with his guilt, he spent time before the Lord in prayer and kneeling before God. And the result is Psalm 51. And it's one of the greatest Psalms in the whole book of Psalms. And David wrote a lot of them. And I want to just read the first couple verses, the first three verses in the Message Bible. Generous in love, God, give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt. Soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been, and my sins are staring me down. I think this is a critical part to being restored after you have given in to the father of lies, is to recognize your sin and to say, this isn't okay. It's not okay. You cannot excuse the result of lies in our lives. You can't excuse it. And when you do, you're not going to get set free from it. Betty, comment on that, will you?
Well, again, when we read that last night, sometimes it doesn't happen immediately.
Right. Yes.
People will deny.
Exactly.
To your face, to right. the Father. What are you talking about? That's not true.
Right.
Because, again, fear. They've been found out.
Right.
They have been dishonest. They've been deceiving.
Right.
They've listened to the wrong voice. They have not listened to the still small voice of reason that keeps telling them, stop.
Right.
Stop what you're doing. Think about what you're doing to the people that you're deceiving.
Right.
That when you tell one lie or a half-truth, whatever, you have to keep building on that to keep yourself afloat.
That's right.
In your own world.
Yeah.
But God is going, stop. Listen.
Right.
I am the voice of reason.
Yeah.
I am the voice that will lead you. I will take you down the right path.
Exactly.
When you get to that fork in the road, don't listen to the enemy.
Right.
Listen to me. Get into
Amen.
My word.
Amen.
And God's word is so, so powerful that there is nothing that you can do or say that will keep you from God's love.
Right.
And he will love you no matter what, no matter where you left him. He's right where you left him.
Amen.
He's never going to push himself on you. He's never going to disown you because you're his.
Amen.
And he wants you walking in favor.
Amen.
He wants you to be forthright. He wants you to have the ability to say, Father, forgive me.
Amen.
For I have sinned. I have sinned against you and you alone, but I've also deceived my brothers and my sisters. And it's betraying
right
a falsehood.
Right.
it portraying to be someone that you're not, or something that you want so badly that you have to lie to get it.
Right.
Because maybe that's like what you talked about earlier, is maybe it took a lot of lying and a lot of deceiving to get attention from your parents, from a boss, from a brother, from a sister. It's a tough road. This is probably one of the toughest things to do, is to say, I'm sorry. Yeah, you found me out.
Right. It's hard to admit. Yes.
Yeah, you called me out on it. And the one thing that we look at that point, and we talked about this last evening, remorse.
Right.
Saddened. Sorry.
Right. Not just the word, I'm sorry. And have you ever had somebody that say, sorry about that, you know, but they don't mean that at all. They just got caught, you know?
Yeah. And the one thing that you have to understand is that once you're caught, don't let the enemy reintroduce you, because he'll go in the back door. He'll say, well, what you were doing was not deceiving, but it was helping you out to get where you want,
uh-huh.
or to get the notoriety that you want.
Right.
Don't listen to the lie.
That's right. Don't buy the lie.
Don't buy the lie.
Don't buy the lie. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 51, 4, 5, and 6. In the Message Bible, David says this to God: you're the one I've violated, and you've seen it all, seen the full extent of my evil. Boy, and God does. And you have all the facts before you. Pastor Jim was talking about checking the facts. Well, there it is right there. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time. You know, David admitted he had just gotten lost in the glory of being a king and having all that power. The power had gone to his head. And he says here, I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since before I was born. What you're after is, now these are the last two lines of verse 6 of Psalm 51. What you're after is truth from the inside out. Enter me then, conceive a new, true life. Verse 7, soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. So David is saying, you know what? I recognize my sinful nature. I let my power or my pride or my lust get the best of me. And now I've got myself in a real mess. Nan, did you want to comment on any of that?
Well, I know somebody who's pretty darn quick at coming to repentance when they do something wrong or handle something incorrectly, because they don't want to feel the guilt.
Right.
They don't like the guilt factor
going
in.
Sure, sure. So, who likes
you
that?
You know, sometimes it may be, it's like embarrassing maybe to have to go to someone and say, please forgive me.
Right.
But the freedom that comes from that.
Oh, freedom is amazing.
Freedom is amazing. That is just, that freedom to live with that freedom is so, so totally awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Verse 7 of Psalm 51, soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Betty, we did a lot of laundry this week, didn't we? Going to the beach every day and everything we did with your family. We did a whole lot of laundry, didn't we?
We did a lot of laundry, but you know what? We were the cleanest people on the beach.
There you go. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Tune me in to foot tapping songs. I love this in the Message Bible. Set those once broken bones to dancing. You know, the one of the keys here to being restored after being confronted by God's truth, one of the keys is praising God and allowing yourself to be forgiven. You know, I think Nan mentioned this earlier. Sometimes it's very hard to accept that forgiveness. Right, Nan? It's hard to say, yes, Lord, okay, I will be forgiven from this, because we don't think we deserve it.
Yeah, he forgives and he moves forward. And we know we're forgiven, and sometimes we don't necessarily move forward because we feel like we should wallow in it, the shame of it, for a little while.
Right.
And that's going to be further from the truth.
Exactly. And the word says in Psalm 103 that he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward us. He has redeemed us and set us free from all of this. He has. Betty, are you on the line? I think maybe she
yes,
had.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, there you go. All right. So, I mean, so often we just get caught up in the problem of the moment, and we really don't realize that there is a remedy for being set free from this. You can be set free. We got to do this song by the group Casting Crowns, Just Be Held. We got to do this. I think it's very important right here.
Hold it all together, everybody needs you strong. But life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And when you're tired of fighting, chained by your control, there's freedom in surrender. Lay it down and let it go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be held. Are on a storm, you wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you know I always have and I always will. And not a tear is wasted, in time you'll understand. I'm painting beauty with the ashes, your life is in my hands. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be held. So far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. Just be held.
Amen, that's the answer. Stop trying to hold on, just be held. Let the Holy Spirit minister truth to you. Praise God. Just be held. Just spend time in his presence. Nan?
Yes. I am right here with you when in need of comfort. Allow me to hold you, offering my love and support. I will hold you and comfort you. I am here. Will you allow me to? Allowing me to hold you is great. This act of love I'll give to you. I love you and will hold you.
Amen. And that's what he wants to do for each of us as we come to him in sincerity and truth.
I was thinking as he was inspiring that, about maybe 4 months ago or something like that, I started encountering a situation I never encountered in my life. okay. ever. And I couldn't understand why things were going the way they were going. And it didn't seem fair to me. But through that time, I'm through that time now, it's done, but through that time and that period, he comforted me.
Amen.
He held me.
Amen.
I didn't know what to do.
That's what the Spirit of Truth does.
And he held me.
Amen.
And he loved me.
Yes.
And he gave me so many cool poems.
Yeah.
He gave me so much great stuff during that time.
Right.
Because he held me.
Amen.
And you know, that with his strength.
Right.
That's how I made it.
Right.
That's how I survived a couple of months, was only by his strength.
Amen.
Only his strength.
Right.
And
God.
His strength is sufficient.
Amen. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
Talk to us, Betty.
Well, one of the things that I know we talk about again last evening is the chains that are released when you face the Spirit of Truth.
Yes.
That's when God shows up, His Holy Spirit shows up and says, I am here. You are no longer alone.
Amen.
You have my peace.
Amen.
That passes all understanding, that there are times when you thought I wasn't there, but I was.
Amen.
This is the time that you need me the most, and this is the time that I want to share with you. This is the times that I want to hold you. This is when I'm going to uphold you with my right hand.
Yes, amen.
This is where I'm going to cover you with my feathers, and I'm going to protect you. And once we come to that realization, Pastor and Nan and listening audience, this makes the devil flee.
It does.
He runs so far from you because he knows that you are a child of the
Amen.
Living God.
Amen. Amen.
There is no condemnation
right.
for you anymore because you have made the sacrifice. You have made the surrender moment.
Amen.
You have came out of the dungeon. You have broken the chains that have had you bound for years. And it's freeing.
Yes, it is.
It may hurt the person that you deceived, but that person will forgive, and you can start the healing.
Yes.
That's when the healing begins, Pastor and Nan, is when we give that surrender moment to God.
That's exactly right.
And say, God, I need you to hold me. I need to just crawl up on your lap, Daddy God, and I need you to hold me because I don't have anyone in my life that will hold me. I know that you will. You won't let go of me.
Amen.
That if I'm drowning, your hand will come down and save me.
Amen.
If I'm down in that sinkhole, your Holy Spirit is there with me, and you're going to pull me out. I'm going to be a little dirty. But see, God, like you said in the scripture, he's cleaned it. He's Mr.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is Mr. Clean.
Soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean.
Yes.
Scrub me.
Yeah, from the inside out.
Right.
And that's when people will start to see
yes.
your countenance change. They will start to see a change in you and say, hey, what's different about you? and you're going to look at him and say,
woo.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Oh, amen and amen. Nan, you have a comment to any of that? Woo, this is good stuff.
I just agree with Betty.
You agree?
I agree with Betty.
All right. She's right on.
She's right on.
You know, I love that when we take the step of repentance, and this has to be true repentance. It can't just be, oh, I'm sorry, I won't do that again. And then you just go right back into it because you haven't been convinced that what you did was wrong or sinful. And I think that is a huge point because the definition of repentance is turning around and going the other way from it, not repeating it over and over again. And saying, well, you know, I didn't get caught this time. I'm going to do the same thing. The true definition of repentance is turning around and turning 180 degrees. If we turn 360, I made that mistake once teaching this concept. Remember, Nan, in Bible study years ago, And I said, we got to turn 360. And somebody goes, 360? Then you're back doing the same thing again. Yeah. Exactly. If you're turning 180, you're going the other direction. And you're not repeating the same. Talk to me about that, Nan. Remember that night? I remember that night in Bible study.
Yeah, that was...
And I had the 360, 180 thing all messed up.
Yeah, you had us going back where we started.
I know.
No, what I wanted to share, I thought of, you know, there was a time I was drawing closer to the Lord in the midst of a nasty divorce and everything, and I was just grew by leaps and bounds with God during that time. Many
sure.
times during our troubles,
we do
seem
grow.
To have more faith,
yes.
and we seem
yes.
to grow more during
right.
those times.
We do.
Well, the Lord dealt with me and said, please ask him to forgive you. And I said, you have absolutely got to be kidding me, God. But see, I had done some wrong in that relationship.
Sure.
I
There's
was
always
not perfect.
Two. There's always two.
Two. I was not perfect. You know, and I'm like, it took me just a little while because I had to really get past Nanette.
Yes.
I had to get past Nanette.
There you go.
And I was like, and I want to be pleasing to my God. And
sure.
it's not to say that God's going to ask other people necessarily do this, but this is just in my situation, he did. And so one night when he returned him to this, I picked him, went out and carried him, got him at the street. I looked at him and I said, I'd like to ask you to please forgive me.
Right.
Now, I said what I needed to say. His response was, you don't really believe that, and sped away. That's okay. I did what I was supposed to do.
That's right.
But by moving forward and doing that, I felt such a freedom.
There you go.
I wasn't bound with him in the way that I had kind of been bound, if you will.
Exactly.
You know, and obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is such an important thing.
Absolutely. Right on. Right on. Thank you for that. That's right on. Betty, you want to comment?
Well, I think that Nan is right on. And it comes down to the point where surrender and obedience go hand in hand. And you have to take that first step. And that first step is going into the arms of Jesus and saying, it's me. I'm back. I want to serve you and serve you only. And it starts a whole new chapter, a whole new adventure in your life.
It does.
When you do that.
It's a defining moment. I love that song we just did, you know, because it is a defining moment when we actually recognize the error of our ways, not just say, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. A lot of times when people say, yeah, I shouldn't have done that with that kind of an attitude, they're really mad they got caught, not mad that they are... you know, ashamed or realizing their error. A lot of times it's mad I got caught. And so, you know, but see, God knows our hearts. And so if we're just saying I'm sorry because we're mad we got caught, then that's not genuine repentance. That's not genuine turning our lives around and going the other direction and not repeating the same things that we have gotten messed up by over and over again. Betty, comment on that, and I'll let you go here in just a minute. I know you've been very gracious to be with us this hour and been driving in the car, so I don't want to make it any longer for you, but why don't you just sum up what you'd like to say here, because we're getting close to the end of the hour.
Well, I think that once we're sinners and Jesus set us free, and when he sets us free, he sets us free indeed.
Amen.
And it becomes...
The truth will set you free,
the truth,
right? The truth will set you free.
Exactly, exactly. And it's amazing to me why people just continue the lie,
right.
why they continue the deception, that there's no reason for it. When you can be truthful with people, that means that you can be yourself.
Right.
You don't have to be somebody that you're not.
Exactly.
And that's what Jesus looks. He looks at your heart, and if your heart is right, everything's going to be okay.
Amen. 2 Chronicles 16:9 is one of my favorite verses, and it says, "The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro round the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely his." It doesn't say the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro, looking around the earth for people that are perfect, or people that have all these accomplishments or talents. It says, for the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely his. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Betty, thank you. Thank you for coming on vacation and spending the last 10 days with me and my family and bringing your family. And what a blessing we had with our church family by you all being here.
Amen.
So thank
Amen.
You.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
And thanks for your hubby Joe making it all possible. So please
yes,
thank
amen.
Him for us.
I sure will.
And we'll talk to you soon. Since my cell phone okay. is not working, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
So anyway, but thank you so much. Okay. And we'll let you get
all
out
right.
of here. Nan, do you have a final comment to all that?
Well, I just hope that everyone will reflect back on certain things that have been said and that it really be able to apply it, take it to their life, and make the right fork in the road.
Yeah, yeah. Make that right decision, right?
Yes.
And go from there. And it involves repentance. It involves changing old habits. Mm-hmm. It involves developing new habits and spending a whole lot of time with God in the Word and searching truth, real truth. Thank you, Nan, for being on today, and for Pastor Jim and Betty, all of you. We have an amazing radio team, and I'm grateful to every one of them, half of them in Indiana from my church up there and half of them here from my church here. So what a blessing. And for all of you that may be new to the Ministry of Beacon of Hope, we're in our 15th year, 10 years on the air. We're in our 10th year here at WTAN in this show, Living the Good Life. And it is always a joy to be on the air with you week after week. We bring you the Word of God in a format that we hope is helpful to you, that is a format that you can relate to, and with great music. And you can hear this very show again this Saturday and Sunday because we're syndicated with StarcomRadioNetwork.com. So go write that down, four words, StarcomRadioNetwork.com, and you can listen at 10 a.m. Eastern to this show this Saturday and Sunday, followed both days by our Thursday night life coaching counseling show. And the title of that is Go Yard, which means hitting a home run in life with me, Mama Mac, and with Dr. Angel. Thursday nights, 6:06 p.m. Join us for that show also. So tune in again next week. And if you have a prayer request or you have something you'd like to talk about, just send us an email at prayers@bohmglobal.com. Our website is also www.bohmglobal.com. And as always, it's not far to Jesus, no distance to Him. He loves you so very much. No distance from God's love for you. God bless you, each one. Have a great week. And hope you'll tune in next week to Living the Good Life with me, Pastor Marcia, and some of our radio team members from Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's not far to Jesus. Just know that He loves you, and we hope to hear from you soon on our website or prayers@bohmglobal.com. Have a great week. See you next week. It's not far from here.